Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? O keep us in thy word, we pray. The guile and rage of Satan stay. O may thy mercy never cease. Give us concord, patience, courage, and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I wonder if it seems to anyone else the way it seems to me that I spend half my time looking for something, right? I wake up in the morning and search for my glasses in the dark, and even if it was light, I'd still be searching for them because I can't see without them. Can't see them well enough to find them, but just feel for them. And then search for the keys to the car, of course, and then get to Bethany and search for the exams that I thought for sure I had left right there on my desk. I don't know if you're a searcher like I am, and isn't that a great way to say it? That sounds so much better than saying absent-minded, right? Just a searcher, you know. But I don't know if you're like me, but that's the way I am. But our scripture lesson talks this morning about another kind of searcher, a whole group of them. And they were not searchers for keys or glasses. They were searchers of the scriptures. And I'd like to read for us that passage upon which our meditation is based this morning. The passage selected for us begins in Acts chapter 17 with verse 10, but it is the continuation of a thought that was actually preceding it. And what came before was a passage that talked about Paul and Silas fleeing for their lives. And they were in Thessalonica, and they had to leave. The reason they had to leave was because they made some people mad, and they made them mad by teaching about Jesus, teaching that Jesus was the Christ. They taught it in the synagogue there in Thessalonica and had to flee for their lives. And that's where we pick up right here in verse 10. And it says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea." Now, Berea was, I don't know, 50 or so miles away. So it's more than a day's journey. "And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks and prominent women as well as men." So many people became believers there in Berea as a result of searching the scriptures and the message that Paul was teaching them. Well, by the way, that takes a lot of guts, doesn't it? You run out of town in one place for your life because what you taught in the synagogue made some people angry with you and to the point that your life is in danger. And when you get to Berea, where do you go? Right into the synagogue. Amazing, isn't it? But anyway, once they get there, in this synagogue, the response was different, the Bible says. These people, they listened to the word. And it says then that, well, it says that they listened with all readiness. I like another translation that hits that picks up on the Greek a little better. It says they listened with all eagerness. So they were listening with all eagerness. You could just see them sitting on the edge of their seat, listening to what Paul and Silas are teaching them. And this was a two-part exercise. So first they listened with eagerness. And what were they listening to? Well, of course they were listening to Paul. But really, what they were doing, what they were hearing was the New Testament scriptures. They hadn't been written yet. But they were hearing it with their own ears, because before Paul wrote it, he first spoke it to people, right? And then after they heard the word from Paul and Silas, then they went to the Old Testament scripture to see if it was true, to see if it was so. So they were searching to find out if what Paul and Silas told them in the New Testament area, told them about Jesus, squared with what the Old Testament prophesied about Jesus. And that's what they were really doing. You see, God never asks you to believe something because Paul says it was true or because some preacher says it was true. That would be what we call blind faith, wouldn't it? No, there is a history to Christianity. That history goes back to the time of Abraham, really even before that, all the way back to the time of Adam. And prophecies were made through those people in the Old Testament that prophesied very specific things about the Messiah, about the Christ, who he would be, what he would be like. Things as simple as where he would be born. So you could just imagine those guys searching the scriptures. Paul says, well, he was born in Bethlehem, and they look up the Old Testament prophet Micah and say, where is he supposed to be born? And, oops, Bethlehem, what do you know? And time after time, they were looking these prophecies up, and what they found is the same thing that you were taught in Sunday school. That Jesus is the one who fulfilled those prophecies. By the way, if you ever doubt that Jesus is who he claimed to be, you can do the same thing. You can go back and check him out, and you can examine the Old Testament scriptures and see if Jesus really is who he claims to be. And as you start looking at prophecy after prophecy, passage after passage that God spoke through the prophets 1,000 years or more before it ever came to pass, you'll start to get goosebumps as you see dozens upon dozens, even over 100 prophecies fulfilled in one man, Jesus. Well, now you could get the idea from this lesson that, of course they weren't Christians yet. Of course they're searching the scriptures. I'm a Christian already. I don't need to keep searching the scriptures. Well, that would be a poor decision indeed on your part if you came to that conclusion. Perhaps catastrophic. Reality is that we must continue to search the scriptures. And notice it says they searched them daily to see if these things were true. This was really important to them. And it ought to have that same importance to us, don't you think? The reality is I must continue to search the scriptures, because every day I hear some philosophy that is at odds with what the truth is. The truth that God tells us. That's the measure of truth, really, is what God says, isn't it? I hear philosophies every day, sometimes in the music I hear, sometimes in a friend who's telling me something, philosophies that are at odds with what God says. How do I know to reject those things if I don't search the scriptures? Whenever a movie comes out, how do I know whether it's something I ought to reject and not go see it? They're pushing messages too, right, in those movies. Well, the answer is to ask the question, does it square with what God says, right? And you know what God says in his word? He says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. I guess I won't be getting those tickets to 50 Shades of Grey, huh? While we're searching these scriptures, you know, there's something else we want to search. I want to search my own life. See if my own thoughts and my own attitudes square with Scripture, right? See, searching through the Scriptures provides me a basis for discerning truth from lies and for discerning right from wrong. And it shows me when I've been wrong. Turns out to be pretty often. Makes me aware of my rotten attitudes and thoughts. You see, I can hide, oftentimes make my actions look pretty good, but my thoughts and intents of my heart, those are known by God. You can't hide those from Him, and I need to read the Bible daily because it has a way of probing deep and reveals to me that the thoughts and intentions of my heart have fallen far short of what God demands. But there's something else that the Bible reveals, and another reason I need to read it every day, something else, and that is it reveals that God loves a sinful person like me, right? Just, I don't know why He loves sinful people like me, but He just does. I don't know why some people love dogs so much, but they do, right? I don't know why God loves sinful people, but He does. He loves me and He loves you. And He loves you so much, the Bible says, that He made a way for you to come and live with Him forever in His kingdom. And that way was to send Jesus as your Savior. He sent Jesus down to live in your place and to die in your place, to take your place upon the cross. And when He did, the Bible says that when He bled His blood, He washed away all of your sins. And He would simply say this morning to you and me now, believe it. Believe it. It's what the Bereans did, isn't it? After they searched the Scriptures, it says, then they believed it. That's what He would say to you and me. And so we would bow our heads. Would you please bow your head with me and we'll pray together. Oh, gracious Father, grant unto your people that we may love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the many philosophies, among the changes that take place in this world, that our hearts may always be fixed where true joys are to be found. We also pray a prayer this morning, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted throughout the world. We pray that you would give them grace to cling to Christ regardless of the cost. Bring them to you and your glory. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.